Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Joey Gatto is with us. You know him, of course, from the, he's made such a huge name in comedy everywhere, but in Practical Jokers and some other television shows that he's on a comedy tour right now. We're going to get into all of this. Joe, do you like Joe or do you like Joey?
You know, I take it all. I've been called way worse. So,
I mean, you know,
growing up, I was Joey because my dad was Joe. So, either way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of a cool name to say, Joey Gatto. Joey Gatto. You know, it's one of those kind of names. You know, this guy's going to be a good guy. He's probably going to be funny. It's like my buddy Pete. I got a buddy named Pete that goes by Petey, and Petey's Italian.
Oh. You gotta love a Petey.
A Petey.
Yeah, you gotta love a Petey.
He's actually Sicilian. If I say Italian, he gets mad. He's Sicilian, and one of those guys that anytime you're around him, you got to call him Petey. And anyway, hey man, great to talk to you. I got sucked into the Impractical Jokers rabbit hole again today because when you start looking on YouTube, I just can't stop. You guys did so much. Just years of material, right?
Yeah. Oh man, a decade worth, and it's been it's crazy to think about how many jokes we put out there because each episode had multiple challenges in it and whatnot. And you know, I did over 320 episodes of TV, which was
wow.
Crazy to think. But yeah, so I've definitely worked to make some people laugh, so it's been great.
Yeah, and you know, it takes me back to my my morning radio days because we did those kind of things on the radio, and we loved having fun with celebrities. I remember Kenny G. Remember Kenny G with the saxophone? We sent we sent Kenny G through a drive-thru one time, and they asked for his order, and all he did was just play the sax every question. And it was just confusing and humiliating at the same time. But that's what was great about and what you guys did, Joe, was you had to be great improvisers because everything was in the moment, right?
Right, for sure. You know, that's where the improv skills came in handy. You know, you could have your plan going forward, but when you walk into that burger joint and there's somebody with a huge hat on, you're like, right. You're going to have to get that hat on. You know, it gets derailed. Yeah. But that was my favorite part, you know, is being able to think on your feet, and we all worked really well that way.
Yeah, you go, I'm not leaving here without that hat on my head.
I think I had home with me, buddy.
We celebrated one day. We really tried to help the community, Joe, when I was doing a morning show. So we celebrated National Reading Day one day. And I mentioned that the main library downtown, that we had hidden $1,000 in a $1,000 check in one of the books, and you just had to find it. You can imagine the melee. I mean, people...
Mayhem. Oh my gosh.
People running in, throwing books, ripping pages. And they came after me once the money, the check was found. And I said, all I'm trying to do is encourage reading. Right?
It became an Easter egg hunt on steroids.
Right. Yeah. Hey, and you're coming to my town too. We're based here in Kansas City, Missouri. And you're coming here.
Great.
What now? I know you've done improv. How much stand up have you done?
This is my first stand up comedy tour, and I've been doing it for over a year at this point. And it's been great. It's a fun format, which I never really tried to foray on my own. I of course done the live shows with the guys. I had been the four of us on stage, you know, but it never just been myself. And it's a little different when you're responsible for 100% of the funny, not just 25%. Took a little getting used to, but I definitely have come into it. I'm very proud of this hour I put together of people coming out to laugh and forget how crazy the world is, and we all need laughter at this time.
Man,
so it's rewarding.
Absolutely, absolutely, couldn't be a better time. And you know, I mean, people know you; they love seeing you. So you've got to step up on anybody else, I would think, in the world of stand up, as far as that goes, with name recognition and that kind of a thing. And I wonder if that ever does that.
For sure, but people don't understand necessarily, haven't seen me do stand up. So it's kind of interesting that people come and be like, oh, "What's this show going to be like?" You know, because they don't know me as a stand up. But I'm a comedian. I love to make people laugh. So it's funny when people come through and I meet them in my meet and greets after the show because I do meet and greets after, you know. And people will be like, wow, you were really funny. And you hear the surprise in their voice. I was like, thank you. Like, what were you expecting? I was going to be terrible.
Yeah. Well, I wondered about that too. You know, if people, hey, man, I'm going to get pranked. I hope I get pranked tonight.
Yeah, people are expecting that kind of thing too, just in real life. That happens to me all the time. I'm like, guys, I don't do that anymore. You know, I go to Target, I'm just looking for paper towels. I'll ask somebody where they are, and the woman working there will be like, oh no, you're not getting me. And so I'm run away. And I'm like, lady, I just wear the paper towel.
Well, that's the other thing. We're talking to Joe Gatto here on the National Defense, of course, from Impractical Jokers. And I want to get into your podcast, too. But before we get into that, so you're doing a show like Impractical Jokers. Does anybody want to hang around with you in real life, or are they just scared to death?
That was even before the show. People know they expect the unexpected when they hang out with me.
Right. Hey, you've got this.
It is hard, like, for people to get serious, you know?
Yeah.
People take me serious. Like, I hope I'm never around during an emergency where
right.
I need real
right.
help. People are like, oh, stop it, Joe.
Come on. You're not on fire.
That's fake blood. What are you kidding?
Right.
You're not getting me.
Hey, I was listening to your podcast, Two Cool Moms, that you do with Steve Byrne.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a fun podcast, huh?
Oh, my God, so great. I mean, Byrne's the best. Steve Byrne's a comic friend of mine. We've known each other, you know, over 10 years at this point. And just a super talented guy, stand-up. We take the road together, too. And when my schedule opened up and I wanted to get in a pod, we had gotten talking and we both wanted to get into podcasting. So we said, let's try it together, have some fun. And we just found this really fun format called Two Cool Moms, where both him and I have had really cool mothers that had always gave good maternal advice, and we've inherited that, where we've become the advice givers to our friends, and we're like, you know, let's do this in a podcast format. So we spend the first half of the pod telling stories about our life, talking about whatever. And then the second half is fan-submitted dilemmas that we help people solve to the best of our abilities. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, but always funny.
always funny. What is the best piece of advice your mom ever gave you?
My mom always gave me, if somebody's talking bad, this one always stuck with me, if somebody's talking bad about someone to you, they're talking bad about you to someone. And that never really lost that. She always told me not to be the person. And I was like, you know, she's like, don't be the person that talks bad about people, because people always think you're talking bad about them. And I think that's hard, actually.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. My best piece of advice my mom ever gave me was just stick that in your pocket, because we would be we would be in a store and we wouldn't have a lot of money. And she'd say, just stick that in your pocket. So, you know, that's always stuck with me.
There you go. I mean, mom's give great advice.
Exactly.
Hey,
I want to ask you about your book, because this is right at my heart too. It's called The Dog Father: My Love for Dogs, Dessert, and Growing Up Italian. I didn't grow up Italian, but man, I love dogs. We've got two rescues right now, pit bull mixes, which they get such a bad rap. But you must have that heart for dogs too, huh?
Oh, so much. Yeah, last year we started up our not-for-profit, our nonprofit Gatto Pups and Friends, and we took it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's amazing. We've been doing some rescuing. Yeah, we've been doing some rescuing out here in on Long Island, and it's really fun. We focus mainly on seniors and unwanted kind of dogs, you know, that don't have really a home. So we got actually a couple pit bull mixes, too. We've got Parpadel, with this big, lovable pit bull that's he's just a poor guy's riddled with cancer, but he's like so happy to be alive. He's such a great dog. And then, you know, we've got another one, Cupcake, which is a little pit bull terrier mix. And she's just a lot of fun as well. She was found under a dumpster somewhere, I think. But
wow.
All my dogs are named after Italian desserts and pastries.
I see. You got 14 dogs? 14 dogs?
I got more than that now. Yeah, more than that now. Now we're like, you know, a lot of them are old, so I have to check in every morning with the numbers to see
sure.
if either some have either moved on or when I say that, either been rescued or have moved on to the light. So I don't know what the numbers are at right now, but we normally have like 26 or 27.
Wow. We're talking to Joe Gatto here on the National Defense. You know, and that's so cool. And, you know, I had this conversation the other day with my sister, who recently lost her dog. And, you know, it's always a sad thing to lose your dog. But the thing that I always try to remember about my dogs are just the fun times we had. They've all got so different personalities. And that's what I remember about every single dog. You know, it's just like, you know, he liked to do that. And he loved to do that. And he thought this was funny. And, you know, dogs love to make you laugh too.
For sure. They love joy. I mean, they're joy givers and they feed off joy. You don't see a dog stop when you start having a laugh and they start having fun with them. They just keep going and they'll keep wanting you to enjoy yourself. They're amazing, amazing animals.
They really are. And unlike people, they don't stop in the middle of something and say, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with what you're doing.
They might stop and poop, but they'll come back to do more stuff. Right.
I would enjoy that just in life, you know. If somebody has a different opinion than you, maybe they just go poop and they come back and you're friends again.
I think it's safe. I think it would solve a lot of problems if people just have a good poop in between.
That's right. Exactly. Hey, Joe, I'm sure you know that you've been asked this a million times. What was your favorite moment on Impractical Jokers? Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I have plenty that stick out. I mean, there are a lot of memories, of course, over the decade, a year, over 320 episodes of TV that a lot stick out. But, for me, it's like some of the things that have resonated with people have really done it. I think the funniest thing I think I've ever done is when I broke tables with my body as the manager in that restaurant where the guys hit breakaway tables and I had to find it by jumping on them. I'm really am proud of that. I think my sister Tommy was really on point there. I think I did that really well.
I would agree with you.
For me, it really is just to be...
I mean, your execution was flawless.
Yeah, thank you. So I was very, my body's a comedic weapon. I ain't afraid to use it.
You stuck the landing. I mean, it was fantastic.
Sure. Yeah, but I'll hear about all these things. People people take the different things. People just throw random deep dive cuts at me and stuff, and they'll say things to me at the meet and greets or whatnot when I meet people at the shows or on the street, you know, what their favorite moments were, because there's just so many. And it's like, wow. I think it's really interesting that people take and remember these little pieces of things that I just ended up saying off the cuff, and they're just there, and it's something that made these people laugh and they remember. So it's just really, really great.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, I understand that completely, because I get that same kind of thing from my old morning show, you know, running to people and they would say, oh, I remember this deal. And the thing that I get mainly, we did a deal one morning that you can appreciate. We took these two guys that work for us. Wow. One guy worked on the show. One guy just showed up on the show. We don't even know. He was Egyptian and his name was Edgar. And we handcuffed, we put these guys in orange jumpsuits at 6:30 in the morning. And then we handcuffed them together and sent them out into a neighborhood around Kansas City, kind of a ritzy neighborhood. And all they did was to knock up, they would go up to a door, knock on the door, and very politely ask, may we borrow a hacksaw? And so people started, you know, phoning the police. And the next call I get is my guy, Dangerous Dave, who is face down on a pavement with, a police weapon aimed at. And all he could say is, tell them it was your idea, Randy. But that's the one that kind of seems to stick out to people. But it is kind of funny what everybody takes away a different thing, right?
For sure, yeah. And he's getting out in 5 years, so that'll be great.
Sure. Yeah. He's on good behavior right now, so we're going to check with Joe, listen, man, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck with everything. I can't wait to see you in Kansas City. You got a big tour going on, and I just appreciate everything you do.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Right back here on the National Defense.